Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever loved somebody? The way God loves somebody. He loves you.
Thank you for tuning in to There's Nothing New Under the Sun. This is yours truly, Pastor C. We're in the Sanctuary Studio in Forestville, Maryland. I'd like to wish everyone a happy Thursday. Truly, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I believe I have on the line with me tonight my big sister, Sheila G. Sheila G, you on the line tonight?
Yes, sir, I am.
Praise God. And my good friend and mentor, Dr. G, you on the line with us tonight?
Yes, sir, I'm here.
Praise God. I think we're able to get together on another Thursday night. We can study the Word of God. We can open up with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it's in Jesus' name that we humbly bow, God, and thank you for another privilege, another opportunity to get together and study your Word. And Father, we pray that you will bless us, that we will be able to study to show ourselves approved unto you, that we can be workmen that need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing your word of truth. Bless us, God, that we will be able to apply this word to our lives, share it with others, and as always, God, we pray that this will be done to your glory, and we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
G and Dr. G, we call this Good Friday Eve, as we are going through what we call a Holy Week, and how we reflect on the last week of the ministry and life of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. We see so many dynamics in the things that he went through in his last week in his earthly ministry. And as we look at this and we look at our Bible study and we see Paul and Barnabas and how they ministered during the first century, that they were encouraged or they were strengthened by the word of God, the truth of God, that they were able to complete and finish the work that God assigned for them to do. And I reflect on, you know, this week, Jesus on the beginning of the week had so many of his people in Jerusalem that were saying, you know, save now or Hosanna. We call that Palm Sunday. So they were spreading palms in his way, and they wanted him to overthrow their oppressors at that time. And he came meek and lowly, riding on a donkey. And as he went, he understood that, you know, the people that were with him on that Sunday, amen, wouldn't be with him on that Friday. And in spite of the challenges of that, the challenges of of the people, the challenge of the circumstances, physically, spiritually, mentally, he found the strength to be able to continue to carry out the will of God. So much so that even on that Good Friday, what we call a Good Friday, that he prayed and he had his disciples and they couldn't stay awake. And he prayed and in that prayer, one of those times he said, you know, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, but not my will, but thy will be done. And he had the strength from talking to God, the praying with God, the being with God, his personal relationship with God, to be able to continue the mission, the assignment that he had been given, which was to pay a price for mankind that mankind couldn't pay, and that was death on the cross. And so throughout studying of the Word of God in the New Testament through the book of Acts, we see that God is strengthening the people that he's called and given an assignment to carry it out. And we asked that question on last week about keeping it moving. And so many testified that it was their relationship with God that allowed them to keep moving, even in the midst of the most difficult circumstances. And as we transition into chapter 14, we'll see on this account where Paul is actually going to be beaten or stoned for spreading the word of God. And so as I look at the conditions and the circumstances that we are in today, Sheila G., there's a new movement of civil rights leaders, civil rights people that are pursuing the humanity, the rights of people to live, the rights of people to be of certain races and ethnicity, to be able to just live and have a certain inalienable right given to them endowed by their creator, to be able to live on the face of this earth. And as we going through the trial of the former police officer in Minneapolis, Minnesota, for the murder of George Floyd, we see so many of these dynamics come into place where people have been beaten down, people have been mistreated, but over and over, as people take the stand and through their pain and their anguish, they're able to keep going, continue to tell the truth, and continuing to be witnesses of the truth. And that ties into us today, as it did back then, spiritually and physically and mentally, that the only way you can get through times like these and you know, the week of Jesus, what he went through, and the week of what so many of us have gone through, and this global pandemic, is to rely physically and spiritually on God, to lean and depend on him for that physical, mental, and spiritual stability, that no matter what's going on, that you're going to do it God's way. And I say all that to say is that's the only way we're going to make it through, is to do it God's way. And so we encourage people to keep it moving. We encourage people to understand that God is the strength. He is our supply. He is our source to be able to make it through. And so as we study the Word of God, you know, so many people have gone through so much trauma this week with you know, just the remembering the death of Christ, remembering the things that went on last May with the death of George Floyd, with the uprising of social injustice, with the recent laws that were passed in Georgia and the young congresswoman, state congresswoman that challenged the knocking on the door of the governor of Georgia. And all of these things that pull at us with our emotions and with our feelings and, you know, with our physical body, is that we have to hold on to God. We have to hold on really, really tight to his strength to be able to press forward. Like those who had gone before us, they held on to God and they pressed on with God. They kept it moving with God. And we have to follow in those footsteps. Sheila G.
Amen. Just to follow up on what you're saying, we have to hold on to God's unchanging hand, because man, as you can see, attacks man. Man flip-flops depending on who they're talking to. But God is consistent, and he's been tempted in all the ways that we have been tempted because he's both human and spiritual, and he's perfect. But because of the human side of him, he understands what we're going through. When you look at this Holy Week, he too went through someone that loved him, praised him, Hosanna, you're so wonderful, and then they go to crucify him. And so God, the passion of Christ, he understands that. So the only way that we can get through this is to hold on to his unchanging hand, because he understands us better than we understand ourselves. And if we just focus on the emotions, he shows by example that emotionally he was beat down, he was torn down, but he looked to God saying, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And that's what we need to say, Lord, in our lives, thy will be done regardless of what we're going through.
Amen, amen. Dr. G, you want to chime in on it?
Well, I agree with what Sheila and you both were saying. Man is so wishy-washy, and, you know, he will flip back and forth. But the only way that we can hold tight and keep it moving is to definitely hold on to the Lord. And what we love about Christ is the fact that, as Sheila was saying, you know, he was both human and spirit. But even though the human part suffered, he never forgot what mission he was on. And, you know, we talked, I think it was the last Sunday, about how Christ cried from the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? But God had to allow all of that to happen in order for mankind to be saved. And it's interesting how, as humans, we can forget all of that where we are right now. When you look at the world and everything that's going on, you know, people just don't have a love for Christ anymore.
Amen, amen. And it's so poignant that the Word of God is so relevant to today, because you had, during that Holy Week, during that time of Jesus, his earthly ministry, you had not only the religious politics, but you had the worldly politics. You had religious and political politics battling each other in this power and authority, or a type of world order in that time. And you have the same thing today, is that you have this type of political or religious battle for a world order that keeps a certain group or certain people in power and authority. And that's been since the beginning of time. And so, right. So what we have to do is we have to continue to understand the relevance of the Bible, and continue to look at the Bible. That's why we have TMAP. You know, there's nothing new under the sun. Because the Bible teaches us how to deal with the times that we live in, the situations, circumstances we live in, whether it's political, whether it's religious, whether it's emotional, wherever it might be on the spectrum, it's important. And like Dr. G says, is that we will follow the example of Christ, and we will follow the example of the Word of God, because truly, there is nothing new under the sun. And if you get into the Word of God, you have that relationship with the Word of God, sooner or later it will be revealed to you that this is what happens. This is man's, I call it his modus operandi. This is the way he operates. And then when we study the Word of God, we'll see this is how God deals with man, how in the ways that he operates. But more and more people, like Dr. G said, we need to turn to the Word so that we'll have that foundation, that we will understand the people that overcame those situations were people of God. You know, when you look back at the civil rights movement, the preachers and the religious leaders and people that were in politics but were still involved with God, how they overcame, how they pleaded to the humanity and the decency of man that is provided by a loving God, and that's how they overcame, and that's how we're going to make it today. And the thing is to know that we're going to make it, but it's not going to be easy.
Nope.
and you don't want to promise anybody that it's going to be easy. And so
right.
every day we have to draw on the strength of God to be able to deal with the struggle. And not only deal with the struggle, but to continue, as John Lewis would say, get in good trouble.
Trouble.
So when we see these things, we see people continuing to struggle, holding on and drawing their strength from God, and they're getting into good trouble. And so this is what would segue us into chapter 14, where we see Paul and Barnabas continuing to get in good trouble for the gospel, the spread of the gospel, the spread of good news, because they understood that they were given an assignment by God to be able to bring this good news of Jesus Christ to the world, and that there would be some who, in that particular world order or that particular religious and political environment, wanted to stay in power. And so when Paul and Barnabas brought this good news that there was a higher authority that would deliver them from the power and the penalty of sin, those in that world order, those that were in political and religious position of authority, they got upset and they would create chaos. They would pitch one against the other. They would go on this fear thing, just like in today's politics, there's
right.
this fear mongering of the other. And so when you see this in today's society, you can go back and you can see the historical record of mankind, that there's nothing new under the sun.
Right.
When people or in a certain world or order with certain type of authority and power, whether it's religious or political, they want to remain in power. And in
right.
the way that they remain in power is they promote fear, or they put fear on people that saying, hey, they're going to come in and change this. They're going to change this, and this is going to be bad for you.
Mm-hmm.
Don't listen to them. As a matter of fact, because it's going to be bad for you, you should take them out, children.
Amen. And that's why we have to not be weak-minded, because if you're weak-minded and you're just on your calm mind, you can be easily influenced by those, because you're right, there's nothing new under the sun. When you look at the politics now, even though they know what the people want, if you look at the majority of what people want is compassion for others and to help others and to do whatever is necessary to bring us out of this social injustice, out of harm's way, out of the economic, out of this pandemic, the majority of the people want that, but the people in power don't want the majority of the people to have it because they want to be and remain in power. So what do they use? One of Satan's favorite tools, which is intimidation and fear. So you can't be weak-minded. So in order not to be weak-minded, you have to be strong in the Lord, trust in the Lord, so that you don't go based off what you see or what you hear or what another man says to you, but you go based off the Holy Spirit, the way the Holy Spirit is leading and guiding your way, regardless of what those around you may think.
Amen, amen. So let's go to the Word of God, chapter 14, the book of Acts, chapter 14, and I'm beginning at verse 1, and I'm going to be reading from the King James Version. It says, "And it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also of the Greeks." But in other words, the gospel message was not just for the Jew, but it was also for the Greek, the Gentile, for whosoever. And
right.
and as we talked about this on last week, they were together. Paul and Barnabas, they were together on one accord. And
uh-huh.
as you said, Sheila G, in the first century church, and as we study the first chapter of the book of Acts, that's where they received their power, when they were in one place on one accord, and the Holy Spirit was in the midst. And
right.
that's how they continue to be successful in ministry, is that they stayed together, that they continued in the plan and the process. And I'm going to slow down a little bit. They continued in the plan and the process. And what happens a lot of times, Dr. G, is that we get impatient.
Hmm.
We don't want to wait for it to unfold, and sadly, I'm praying that we don't have another spike in this pandemic. But people get weary and they get impatient, and so what they do is, when they get weary and they get impatient and they don't continue with the process, is they make the wrong move at the wrong time, and so what happens is if they don't receive the desired outcome because they made the wrong move at the wrong time because they weren't patient. And so what we see Paul and Barnabas here is they're trusting in the process. They're trusting in God's plan. And so they go into the synagogue on a regular, they speak the gospel on a regular, and in spite of the pushback, in spite of the threats, they continue to trust in the process and they continue to do what God does on a regular basis. But that is the challenge of man, Dr. G, is that we don't want to follow the process. We get in a hurry. That's why the Jews on Sunday said, you know, Hosanna. But since they didn't overthrow the Roman government, they cried crucify him on Friday. The same thing with us. We don't want to follow the process. You know, when the preacher stands up and says, follow this process, follow this, the church should do this. If we keep doing this, this will happen. But you always have someone that says, well, no, that's not right. They're getting more than me, and they're getting more than, and the preacher said, we need to do this right now in order to do X, Y, and Z. And then when we do X, Y, and Z, this will happen. Well, people don't want to get to the Y. They want it to happen at the X. But the preachers tell them, you got to go X, Y, and Z. But if it doesn't happen to X, people get mad, they get upset, they get winning jaw, they turn on each other. And then so what happens is the desired outcome never gets accomplished. Dr. G, help us out of what it is that why we don't want to go through the process of X, Y, and Z.
Well, you hit the head on the nail. People are just impatient. They want everything now. And you can see it in all walks of life. You know, driving on the beltway every day, same thing. People impatient. And when you look at what's happening in our world, you're right. People don't want to follow the process. They want everything now. And when you look at what's taking place in our world with this pandemic, you know, all these states, they started getting the vaccine. So all of a sudden now, even before folk really started getting it, they're going to open things up, take away the mask mandate, and you can see the spikes going back up. Kids, spring break, you know, impatient. Don't want to follow that process. And as Christians, it's important for us that no matter how impatient we get, we've got to follow the outline, what the Lord puts in store for us, because he's the one that knows best. We may not like waiting, but we've got to wait on the Lord and do it his way.
Amen, amen. And the psalmist said, wait on the Lord and be of good courage. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And so waiting is synonymous with standing still, but also with moving forward. And as waiters, if you ever seen somebody waiting, somebody is serving. A waiter is serving somebody. So while we're waiting, we're also serving. And in other words, we're continuing to do what thus said the Lord, even though we haven't seen the desired outcome yet. In other words, we're waiting on the desired outcome, but we're not just waiting, not doing anything, but we're waiting and serving at the same time. And Sheila G, so many movements, and particularly in the civil rights movement, is change doesn't come just by sitting on your hands. You have to understand that change is going to come. But while we're waiting for the change to come, we're going to be doing something. And anytime there's going to be change, there's going to be resistance to the change. So we can't stop back and sit back and not do anything. We know the change is going to come. So we're going to be active and waiting. Not only are we going to wait and be patient, but we're going to wait and move forward. And this is the way Christians have to operate, is we know that God's will is going to be done. But while we're waiting for the desired outcome, we have to continue to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, because we know that our labor in the Lord is not in vain. So what does that mean? That means that we're waiting on God. We're waiting for his the preferred desired outcome, his will to be done, which is his will to be done. But while we're waiting for his will to be done, we're serving in the army of the Lord. We're working toward that desired will to come to fruition. But too many times, if Paul and Barnabas would have stopped, if Paul and Barnabas would have said, nah, they're going to be too hard-headed, too stiff, I'm not going to do it anymore, the word of God wouldn't reach the desired outcome, which is the will of God is that none which should be lost. Sheila G.
Well, Sheila had to go check on Jessica, but you're right.
Okay. Dr. G, go ahead.
I think about what you were saying, that when I go back and I think about when I first came to New Birth, for 26 years I had to endure. If I had given up and just said, I would not have made it to do what the Lord wanted. And fast forward to where we are now, if I had given up, New Birth would not have become what it is right now. So as Christians, yes, we have to wait, but like you said, we got to do as the Lord said. You know, I didn't stop teaching. I didn't stop preaching. I didn't stop pastoring because it got hard. I continued to do as the Lord guided me.
Amen. And that's so awesome to see that no matter what the situation is, if we're standing on the side of righteousness, we're standing on the side of God, we can't, no matter how tough it is, like you said, you didn't quit, you didn't give up. No matter how hard, no matter how tough it is, you have to keep waiting. You have to keep serving. You have to keep trusting God in the process. You have to keep trusting him. And his word. And that's how things come to fruition. When you look back at anything that started and the struggle that it had to go through, there were some people that stuck with it. There were some people that stayed in there. There were some people that in the midst of those throwing in a towel and giving up and talking all kind of crazy stuff about the process, that they stayed there. They hung in there. And in spite of the folks on Jesus week, Holy Week, you know, saying Hosanna, and then at the end they're crying, crucify him on the cross. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And in other words, he still had compassion. And one of the things that is difficult, that while you're working, even in the midst of injustice, even in the midst of difficult times, is to continue to remain compassionate for people, continue to have love. In other words, the trial in the tribulation doesn't cause you to hate, because if you hate like those that are bringing hate on you, then you're
right
in the same boat as them. And,
yeah,
and so you have to be careful that the trial doesn't cause you to be bitter and angry, because when the desired outcome comes, then you're still bitter and angry and you can't enjoy the outcome. And the Bible says that Jesus endured the cross for the joy that was set before him. It says in Hebrews 12, he endured the cross. In other words, he endured the shame. He endured the death of the cross because of the joy that was before him. In other words, he understood that there was a better outcome, a desired outcome, but he had to go through this difficult time for the desired outcome. And I know so many of our ancestors, so many of our grandmothers, our grandparents, and those that endured hardship to see the future of those that were coming behind them, the great-grandchildren, the children, to see
right
that because of their struggle, because
yeah
of their steadfastness, that these are able to see the fruit of their labor, which is the desired outcome, that they would be blessed. Sheila G., I see you back with me.
Yeah, I had to run out real quick. But, yeah, that's why one of my favorite scriptures is the joy of the Lord is my strength. Because if we try to draw on our own strength or what we're seeing or what our own situation is, instead of looking to the problem solver, we will become bitter. We will give up. We will say, what's the use? What's the point? How am I going to make a difference? But if we draw our joy, draw our strength, draw our endurance from God, He gives you, he'll put those emotions in check and gives you the ability to rise above. You know, as you were talking about how our ancestors went through but would not allow the situation to make them bitter, even though they were unhappy. That's why I always say you can be in an unhappy situation but still have joy, because that joy you're getting from the Lord. And as we were, as you were talking about it, I was thinking about the Women's Black History, the Women's History Month back in March. And I remember when I first went into the accounting field, there weren't hardly any women in that field.
That's right.
And I went to work for Marriott Corporation, one of the big corporations, like maybe one or two of us in accounting. And we, there were a lot of things that we had to do where they would purposely make it very difficult and very challenging, basically getting us to give up and wanting us to quit. And we, there were some women that did become bitter and say, you know what, just forget it. But I know that God, those of us that hung in there and trusted God, now we can see, with, as I go to client, I see more women in a field where there were no women. And I think it's going through that with science now, the science and technology, whereas it was more in accounting there. But the point is that you don't look at the situation. You can't become bitter, because if you become bitter, it feeds into that, because that's why they would call a strong woman a certain name. But if a man acted that way, he was you know, he was powerful. But if a woman acted that way, she was all emotional, and you know what the word is. But you have to not allow yourself to be bitter. Stay calm. Trust in the Lord. Do what you have to do. Block out all the noise, and then you come out victorious. Now I'm able to look back and see the fruit of my labor. But if I had been bitter about it, which I had every right to be, because it was just like just blatant a male chauvinist type, you know, look at you like you're stupid, give you double the work, make you do twice as much as anybody else, or get over, you know, promoted over. But if you still just hung in there and trusted God, then you can still keep that smile on your face. And they would be the ones that were bitter. They were the ones that got left behind. And that's how we have to have, see it through God in any crisis that we go through. Trust in God, not in man, and don't let Satan get you all up in your emotions.
Amen, amen. And Dr. G, we've seen it with so many preachers and so many pastors. They get bitter, they give in, they quit, they don't want to do, and then it trickles down to the congregation, to the deacons and the trustees and the choirs and the members, where that attack at the head starts spreading down to the body, and people get bitter and they get emotional and they get new feelings. And so the work of Christ, the mission of the church, goes on the sideline because of the pressure of the enemy, Dr. G.
Well, you're right. And not just with pastors, but also with young preachers. I find that, you know, in their mindset, they're looking for something that really doesn't exist. They can't become pastors or, you know, name brands until they've been through some stuff. And when I look at where we are, I mean, one of my goals, no matter what I go through, I'm never going to let the congregation see me sweat or see me hurt to the point where I'm ready just to say, forget it. And when I look back now through all of that junk I had to go through, I thank God that he would not let me quit. He would not let me lash out. He would shut, the Holy Spirit would shut my mouth to the point where the human part of me couldn't come out, even though it wanted to. And I look back now, I understand why he would not do it. And I give him nothing but praise, so that whatever may be going on now, you know, I want the congregation to see that I do have the joy of the Lord. Now, I'm going to preach about the bad times, the hard times, but through Christ, all things are possible.
Amen. 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 So let's go back to Acts 14, chapter 14, verse 2, and let's see the challenges that Paul and Barnabas, they just finished preaching, and they saw great progress. And as they saw that great progress, and now they're in Iconium, they're going in to preach, and here comes trouble again, and it's like, it seems like every time you get moving forward, there's always something that's going to be another obstacle, and we have to understand this is just how the enemy does. He'll fight, and then he'll be defeated, but then he'll come back and fight some more. And it's a thing of, we have to learn to expect it. So in Iconium, they said, okay, here we go. We're going again. And in verse 2, it says, but the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their mind evil affected against the brethren. And in other words, just when you think settling down, just when you think things are going forward, the enemy comes in and he attacks, and in the attack, it says, well, we're trying to do so good. Paul and Barnabas say, we're trying to do good. We're trying to preach this good news. These people seem like they wanted the good news, but now they're being influenced by others to turn against us, the ones that are trying to give them good news. And so they're biting the hand that gives them good news. And so it's always going to be a struggle. And I always say that with every level, there's another devil, but God gives you more authority and more power to be able to deal with that.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to understand, this is the process that goes on in ministry all the time.
Right.
And I want to slow down here. It's not always going to be sunny.
Right.
There's going to be some cloudy days. But I promise you this, God said that he would never, ever flood the earth again. So
mm-hmm.
when it's raining, I know there's going to be a time where it's going to stop raining because it's not going to flood the earth. So
right.
So in ministry, enjoy the sunny days. Enjoy the sunshine. Because
right.
it's going to be a cloudy day. There's going to be a rainy day. There's going to be some storms. There's going to be some difficult weather. There's going to be some difficult roads to toil. But understand, you can be encouraged that there is going to be a sunny day. There is going to be sunshine that we can count on God to his word, that weeping may endure for a night, but joy is going to come in the morning.
Yes.
But we don't know how long the night's going to be. But
that's
we know
right.
we can get through the nighttime as long as we stick with God. And one of the things that, and this is going a little off of the subject, is that Paul and Silas were in the bottom of a jail.
Mm.
God's ministry had them in the bottom of a jail.
Mm-hmm.
And the record said at midnight,
late in midnight
they
hour.
Sang. They sang and gave praises to God,
yes.
and God performed a miracle that the chains were loosened, and that
yes.
the there was an earthquake, and people got saved because
yep.
they gave praise.
Yep.
I'm not gonna preach because they gave praise in the midst of the storm. Sometimes
yes.
it's hard for preaching not to preach. I'm not gonna preach, but you got to learn how to give praise in the midst of the trial, because when you give praise in the midst of the storm, Dr. G, somebody going to get saved. Lord have mercy.
Well, you know, there's a song that Marvin Sapp just came out with, and he says, you got to thank him for it all. You thank him for the good days. You thank him for the bad days. You thank him for it all, so that no matter what you may go through, and there's so many scriptures and songs that it helps you to remember how far the Lord has brought you. Somebody said, when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all
mm-hmm.
that he's
yeah.
done for me, my soul cries out hallelujah. So if we are sincere about
mm-hmm.
our with Christ, if we are real about our commitment to the Lord, yes, there are going to be some rough days. The sun is
now.
Not and the way we may want it to be, but your faith in the Lord will see you through. And she'll
yeah.
always talk, pull on those past victories, but you don't
yeah.
focus on the negative. You look at what God has done and what God can do.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Sheila G., as we look at chapter 14, verse 3. They didn't give up. In chapter 14, verse 3, it says a long time. In other words, they hung in there. They abode in speaking boldly in the Lord. In other words, even though there were difficult days, even though there were challenges to the ministry, they continued to speak boldly. And after they continued to be boldly, what did God do? It says, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace. In other words, they preached about the grace of God. And what happened? And granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. In other words, God blessed their steadfastness. God blessed their ministry because they hung in there. And by the grace of God, they were able to perform signs and wonders where people mm-hmm. could get saved. Sheila Jean.
Amen. And that's what I mean when I say the joy of the Lord is your strength, because that where you pull that joy from is when you sing that gospel song, when you pray, when you quote that scripture, when you stand and you say to yourself in the midst of confusion that, yea, though I walk through the valley and the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because thou art with me. That is speaking directly to the devil. That is speaking directly to your situation to say that mm-hmm. no matter how bad it is, I don't care about the chaos. I'm going to make calm. I'm going to have the joy. How am I going to get that joy? I'm going to sing. People are going to look at me like I'm crazy because I'm humming a gospel song while I'm at work and these people are off the chain. I'm humming, I'm quoting a scripture in my head, even if it's not the exact words, while the kids are acting crazy. I'm in the midst of a storm. And, you know, I remember Jessica had been in the hospital. I was on my way to back mm-hmm. to work. The hospital and a truck ran into the back of me, and when the guy mm-hmm. I was like, really, God? But when the guy from the truck came and sat next to me, I gave him a testimony, and I said, you know what, weeping may endure for a night, but joy is coming in the morning. I was like, tears were down my face because it was one more thing. But come to find out later that affected that man because he had cancer, and I found out he had cancer. I talked to him. He shared with me, but I never talked to that or heard from that man again. But God let me know that the reason that I had to go through what I went through, why that truck ran into me is because there was a man out there that knew that he was dying, and he needed somebody to remind him about how good God can be in the midst. Because I shared my whole story. I'm like, my child got sick. I just started working. I just on my way back to my new job. And here you ran into the back of me. But I wasn't upset with him. I was still mm-hmm. talking about the goodness of the Lord, which in turn allowed him to give himself to Christ, which days later I found out that he has cancer. And he said that that's what he needed that day. So you don't know what the type of example that being for God, he will use your challenges to help to convert somebody else, but you got to have the confidence in the Lord and no confidence in man. And when you keep and show that Holy Ghost boldness, Satan will be defeated every time.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. We want to go to our phone line tonight. Get there a little early. I know the last couple of times we were together, people were ready to chime in, so we're gonna let you chime in a little early tonight, and we just want to pick up out of that verse 3, chapter 14, verse 3. Is there an understanding that while you're going through, that God's grace is still sufficient? Just like Sheila G said, God, she put on God's grace, she put on His mercy. Just like Paul and Barnabas, just like so many times we all, when we're going through, we gotta learn to rely on God's grace. And in other words, God's grace, in other words, His ability to be there with us and hold our hand and get us through is sufficient. So the question is, do you still know, or do you know that God's grace is still sufficient? Do you know that God's grace is still sufficient? We're going to go to our first caller. Last four digits, 6309. You on there?
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening. Yes, I do know that God's grace is sufficient enough, and it has been for me. All the operations and things I had to have over the past few years in my older age, but I know I just trust and believed in God. I know the operations were things that I had to have But I believe God when he told me, go on, have him. You're going to be all right. I'm going to be with you. And he's been with me. He's never left me. And I'm still got to have some more, but I'm not worried about it.
Yes.
Lord is going to be with me, and I know he's going to take care of me. And his will has to be done. If
that's
I don't
right.
make it to some of them, I understand that too.
Mm-hmm.
But he's been good to me. I love him. I trust him. I believe in him. And I'm going to do everything I can to show him that I am for him, and I'm going to wait on him and trust him. I don't care what kind of situation I come through. I'm going to discuss it and talk about it, because I'm not going to let the devil think he's going to get a handle on me by keeping stuff in. You know, I confess things, so he got to work a little bit harder to get me, but I'm ready for him whenever he comes. But see, I done made up my mind. There ain't nothing going to change my mind.
Amen.
So yes, I do believe that God's grace is sufficient enough, and I'm thankful for it. He made a lot of promises in his word. I believe in them promises, and I know he's going to keep his word. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. We're going to go to our next call. Last four digits, 1741. 1741, you're on the air.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
It's so good to fellowship with you all this Thursday. God's grace is sufficient, and I thank God for his grace. I thank him for his mercy. I just thank him for just being patient and loving us, even when we're not lovely sometimes. And God has been mighty good unto me. And I thank him, because last Thursday this time I was in doctor's hospital trying to find out what's wrong with me. And still didn't find out. Decided before I went to patient care, so I went two places and came back home the same way. But I thank God. I praise God and I thank him, because even though they taking x-rays and things, nothing showed up. But I know something is wrong. And so I'm just praying that God, in his time, in his way, he will let me know what I need to do. And I still have more medical appointments, but I'm trusting him. And
amen.
I'm not sitting here with woe is me. And why me? But I'm trusting him, because I know that God is a healer. And he's going to do what he wants to do when he wants to do it. But I just want to serve him and do what he will have me to do. So I rejoice tonight. I am grateful. And I love the Lord. I love the Lord. And when I pray, I say, Lord, I thank you for the trials. I thank you for the tribulation. I thank you for the good times, the bad times, the suffering and the pain. I thank you for everything you said in my life, because you are God and you know what you're doing.
Amen.
And sometimes if we don't go through some things, how do you know what God can do?
That's right.
And when we grow in grace, through our suffering and through our pains, through our trials and our tribulation, we grow in grace. And also, it's a testimony to help somebody else. To let somebody else know about the goodness of the Lord. And so I praise God and I thank him that he is patient with me. He's understanding. And I love him for that, because there are times when I mess up and I don't get it right. But I go to him, and he helps me. I love him tonight, and I just pray that he will continue to keep me on the straight and narrow pathway so I can do what he wants me to do, not what I want to do, but what the Lord wants me to do. So I bless him and I praise him.
Amen.
He's a mighty good God. He is faithful. He is a good God, and he's been mighty good to me. His grace. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
His grace and his mercy has brought me through. And I thank him tonight for his many, many blessings, because truly he's been mighty good unto me. So I give him all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise, because there's none like him. Hallelujah. There is none like him tonight.
Amen. Amen.
Have a blessed Easter and enjoy.
Amen.
Pastor Gregory and First Lady Gregory Newberg, I wish you all a blessed Easter. Enjoy.
Amen. Bless you. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. We're going to go to our next call. Last four digits, 6664. 6664, you on it?
Yes, I just want to say good evening. I thank God for enabling me to be here another day. I just thank God for all the blessings and all the praising that he still upon me. I just thank God that he's been in my life this far, and I just thank God for being in my family's life and that I was able to know who my mother was for a long time. I didn't know who my biological mother was, but I'm glad to know my sisters and everyone. And I just thank for all the prayers that everyone has given me. And I just want to wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving. I mean, a happy Easter and blessings.
God bless
thank you.
God bless you.
Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. We're going to go to our next caller. Last four digits, 8760. 8760. You're on the air. Let's be listening in. We're going to go to next caller. Last four digits. 310, you're on here.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
For me, it's what a mighty God we serve. I can say through it all, God has been there. He has ordered my steps. He has walked with me all the way until today, and he's going to keep on walking with me. And
yeah.
I just thank the Lord for his guidance, and most of all for his word, and instilling his word in my heart, where I can sometimes when you're trying to find that scripture, you come up with a song. So he always has something for you to remember.
Amen.
Something to quote, something to help someone along the way, and then sometimes he put people in your path that will help you remember something in order to help someone else along the way. So
Amen.
God is good. I would like to tell everyone to have a blessed Easter, and always remember that with God, anything is possible. You all have a blessed evening.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. Let me go to our next caller. Last four digits, 0072. 0072, you're on the air. All right. Let's keep listening in. Let me go to the next caller. Last four digits, 7971. 7971, you're on the air.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
As everyone, you know that God's grace is sufficient for me in any aspect of my life. But it's amazing how God operates. Pastor Gregory was talking about Marvin Sapp's song. Thank you for it all. My daughter and I had a talk last Tuesday, March the 23rd, 2021. That's the day her father passed. I mean, we talked and we talked. And she said she turned on her spiritual station and this song came on. And she woke me up Wednesday the 24th at 9:46 with this song playing. And she said to me, she said, Mom, she said, you know, she always called me Mommy. Mommy, you know, whenever you get real serious with me, God always confirms it. And I said to her, I said, Jamie, God's grace is sufficient.
Yes, it is.
We don't have to worry about that.
Mm-hmm.
And if you all don't mind, I'm going to try to tune this just a little bit to show you the grace of God and how it operates. The song that Pastor Gregory just quoted, my daughter just sent it to me last Wednesday. Now, let's see if me and my low-tech self can... Let's see. patient. Be anxious for nothing. Can you hear it?
Yes.
What I'm talking about, how God brings his people together and give us what we need when we need it.
Amen.
Yeah.
That was God's grace.
Amen.
In full force. She confirmed what we talked about with the song. And here tonight, Pastor Gregory, not knowing, said the same thing.
Amen.
So that confirms how the Holy Spirit operates in your life.
Amen.
When you're on the same page, serving the same God, doing the same thing with the same people.
Amen.
God. That's all I got to say before I start crying. Thank you all for
Amen.
Everything.
Amen.
Thank you, God.
Amen.
Thank
Amen.
You, God,
Amen.
For placing me in the right place with the right people.
God bless you, sweetie.
The
Amen.
Same
thank
to you,
you
all.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for your comment tonight. I'm going to go to our next caller. That's what it is, 5904. 5904, your name.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Well, I'm just sitting here enjoying the music and meditating on that song that I just played. And, yes, God's grace is sufficient enough because listening to Sheila, how she was saying Jessica was in the hospital, then I started reflecting on when Kenny was in the hospital having back-to-back surgery, brain surgery, and ear, nose, throat surgery all on one day, and the situation was so bad, and didn't know how to deal with it, right? But there was this one little kid who had was having seizures. He was about 4 years old, and I'm sitting there, you know, I'm lost because I don't know where, you know, I know prayer, I believe in God, but still, you know, I was a mother and my son's sick, I can't help him, but the little boy's mother came and she talked to me and she said, I know what you're going through. And she explained the situation with her son. And she said, one thing I got to tell you, never give up on God and always
Amen.
Keep your hand in his hand because though it might look bleak, but God is always around and he sends people to come and, you know, comfort you. And she said, remember, his grace is good. And Yeah, that was bringing back some tears. So I know God's grace is good because through it all, and then, you know, when Marquita was going through her things, and, you know, then my other family members, I know that in the same location, but I know that if one needs one, God always make a way for all of us to come together for whoever needs our help. So that's his grace and his mercy, you know, to keep us, you know, in his leadership, to let us know wherever you go, I'm always there with you, and you're never alone. So that's all I have to say.
Amen.
Thank you for your comment tonight. I'm going to go to my next call. Last 4 digits, 3343. 3343, you on
it? Yes, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Oh, my God, yes, yes. Sister Grace, Lord have mercy. Pastor and your sister remind me of my grandmother. My grandmother was Indian. She came from the Blackfoot tribe. And
yeah,
it's the thing now, we have the grace of God. I was in the yard last Sunday, and I saw the palm coming through the air. And I couldn't understand what the devil was, but it was. And soon my wife called me and told me that this lady was coming to bring the palm, bring some palm to the house. And I just couldn't believe it. And it's like we talking about Mr. Charlie, how the leopard never changed his spot. How we going to these survivors and whatnot. These little black children want to be like Mr. Charlie. And Mr. Charlie make things look so delicious to them that they want to be like him. And we stay in trouble, keep him on our back all the time. And God always gives me the tape that I was scared to go to a doctor. Now, the doctor got to tell me I got to have surgery on my eyes, and I'm scared that I'm gonna go and maybe get something happen. And you said the grace, and I got to get on my knees and get to talk to the Lord and say, I got to have this thing to my eyes. But anyway,
amen.
I can't read my Bible. I got to read my Bible, so I got to go and have it done and take God on with me. I can't worry about what Charlie going to do.
That's right.
Keep on going.
That's right.
And it's just I got to be confidence in him. I can't change no voice.
Amen.
I just can't change nothing. But God is with me on my way, on my knees. I'm going with him regardless, whether I see or don't see.
Amen.
And that's where I'm looking at it.
Mm-hmm.
And trying to stay with Mr. Charlie, you can't do it. But he makes everything look delicious for his sake. But that ain't nothing but the devil. Just keep walking at you, and you got to keep on walking over him and keep on going. And stay with God and keep your hand in God's pocket. That's where all the good stuff is.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. We go to our next call. I ask 4 digits, 5236. 5236, you on air?
Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
So God's grace is sufficient enough for me. I believe that just on a day-to-day, just kind of experiencing certain things and just kind of going to work. And I feel as though I experienced some sort of challenge. And at the same time, I feel as though I always learn something new just about his grace and mercy. And being able to actually not worry as much as I used to. And just kind of just pray and just leave whatever situation I experience in God's hand.
That's right.
And just being able to make it home every day and just be able to wake up in the mornings is enough for me. So I don't have much to say, but I'm just very grateful and just humbled.
Amen. God bless you.
Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. I'm going to go to the next caller. Last 4 digits, 1712. 1712, you on air?
Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
God's grace is honestly what has kept me alive. It's kept me grounded. It showed me that in spite of myself, God still loves me and has you know, my best interest in mind. I know through my life I've disappointed God many a times, and even when I look back at the mistakes I've made and realize that I didn't deserve to be pulled out of some situations or certain situations and had, you know, certain types of friends and people that I used to, you know, run around with, but God still had grace and mercy to still love me in spite of myself and to still bless me and to still take me out of those situations. And, you know, God's grace is a real funny thing, because if you really sit back and pay attention and look at it, you know, you realize, you know, in the midst of adversity that God was always there. God always had his hand on you in spite of what we felt, in spite of feeling alone and feeling like we were abandoned. And we go to church and we do all these things and we're like, well, God, where are you? But as you get closer to God and you establish that relationship with Christ, you realize God's never left you.
That's
we were
right.
the ones that were forsaking the Lord. We were the ones when God was knocking at the door. We were the ones that were refusing to answer, you know. And as I struggle with things within myself, you know, the grace of God has taught me how to accept failure and realize that failure is a part of the growth process, that if you don't try and get up and do it again and be relentless with it, you're never going to get better. You're going to become stagnant. You know, the grace of God has showed me that when you talk to people, and, you know, before I realized the grace of God, people are like, well, how's your day going? I'm having a bad day. I'm having a rough day. Now the grace of God has said, I'm having a character building day. I'm not thinking of it in such a negative way, but I'm looking at it, even though I may not know what's going on and hell may be all around me, there's something for me to gain from this that's going to make me better, to be a better person, to be a better role model, to be a better Christian, a brother, a son, you know, an uncle, you know what I'm saying? So it's like so many different facets and levels to God's grace, and we don't pay attention, you know, we can miss it. You know, God's grace is meant to be throughout our lifetime, and there's so many different experiences and things that we're going to go through, but I think sometimes in our Christian journey, we forget, depending on what we're going through, you know, we forget about God's grace, and we forget how God, time in and time out, has bailed us out of situations, and again, like I say, to continue to love us in spite of ourselves. But, you know, I know God's grace to be true, and, you know, I just, you know, realize that, you know, the more that we go through in life, the more we want to grow, the more we want to excel at whatever it is we want to do, we're going to need God's grace, because we're not going to be able to do much without it, and it helps us to put things in perspective. But, you know, I'm truly blessed. I'm truly humble. I know a lot of the adversity that I've gone through, others have gone through, and they're not here today to be able to speak about it. So I'm truly humbled that God has still had his hand in my life and still will continue to have his hand in my life. And I don't take that for granted, especially being an African-American man in today's society. You're going to need God's grace. There's no way in the world I'm going to sit out here and think that I can do this by myself. And that's why I thank God for putting the right people in my life and allowing me to have the support system needed. So when I'm having some days that aren't looking too good and I feel like I'm kind of alone, because again, I'm human, I'm in the flesh, I'm just like anybody else that's called in and given their testimony, God has given me resources to utilize to help me along the way. But it's truly powerful, God's grace, you know, because if you believe in it and you have the faith of even the size of a mustard seed, with God's
that's
grace,
right,
we can overcome anything. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. Cecilia G, we look forward to tonight, powerful testimonies and word of God. You have a final comment. You want to close out with prayer, please?
Just that we all have to recognize that his grace is sufficient, for when we are weak, he makes us strong, and the joy of the Lord is our strength. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you once again for another opportunity to study your word. Father, I pray that we will hide it in our hearts so that we can spread it out to others, Lord. We thank you, Father, for the sacrifice that you made in your Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall have everlasting life. And we don't take that for granted, Lord. In your precious name we do pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right, that's going to do it for us tonight. Prayerfully, we'll see you again on next Thursday night. Good night.
Good night.